and women whom you could trust to stand at your back when the steel flashed. Then Christy Roth had come into his life, around the same time that the traitor was readying himself to quit this world in his own mysterious way. And then, nothing would ever be the same. Ryan recalled the first time he'd seen that brilliant flame-red hair, which had been around the same time he'd met up with poor, disoriented Doc Tanner. Then they'd found the first gateways and made the first of their Natrans jumps. And since that time? He lifted the scope to his right eye and slowly scanned the horizon, noticing a few gulls gathering and circling a mile or so ahead off the starboard bow of the vessel. Even in his short time aboard the Salvation, Ryan had picked up enough of the correct nautical phrases to avoid trouble from either of the mates or his fellow seamen. He fumbled with the crude focusing system of the archaic instrument, trying to sharpen his view, battling against the regular rolling of the whaler to keep the image steady. The sea looked unflurried, but there were certainly the gulls, more and more of them, mute at that distance. Though Ryan watched carefully for 3 or 4 minutes, until his eye began to water and his vision blurred, nothing more seemed to be happening, and he eventually lowered the telescope again and returned to his musings. In the past year, he and his friends had traveled thousands of miles. Many of his friends were gone, most killed in sudden, shocking ways, their lives snuffed out in the blinking of an eye. Ryan made a tentative attempt to count the number of people he'd called friends who'd left this world. Names trickled past his mind like a jerky parade of stone-faced corpses. He counted to 50 without even having to pause. Another 20 faces came to him, and he had the certain knowledge that another 40 or 50 acquaintances waited, gibbering in the black wings of his memory. There was the killing cloud in the darks, the Russians who had tried to invade and been driven back, the snow and the cascading flood of choking ice, the mud and the heat when he'd first met the young killer with the hair like snow and eyes like molten rubies, triple crazies gibbering 1,000 feet below a lake, surrounded by all the laboratory trivia of a new genocide. The return down the twisted lanes of the past to confront the old nightmares. And the trip past the ruins of...
Aloft! Aloft there! Dost thou see anything?
Ryan kept his hands to his mouth, taking the greatest care to keep the telescope safely tucked beneath his arm.
No!
Keep thine eyes skinned or I'll have thy backbone!
Ryan took up the glass, ready to look once more across the pitching acres of glittering water. But part of his mind wandered away to Christy Roth, wondering if she still lived, thinking back to their many conversations on what future they desired. She hoped for safety and stability. Ryan looked for a kind of peace that he hadn't found yet, and might never find. Tyrion caught her, swinging effortlessly between heaven and the deep cold sea. Time had ceased to have any meaning. He knew that when enough minutes had ticked by on the ship's cron, then someone would climb up the rigging and relieve him of the lookout's task. But until then, there was no hurry. It was pleasant to have, for once, leisure without any responsibility. There was nothing he could do for the time being to extricate himself from the danger of his position. This was a rare opportunity to think about his past and even wonder a little about his future, if he had one. Ryan thought back to the many places in the Deathlands that he'd passed through, so many of them seeming to be the same bleak pest holes. One of Trader's favorite sayings came back to him at that moment.
One handful of ashes looks just like any other handful of ashes.
Ryan's eye was caught by a flurry of white spray ahead of the ship on the starboard side. Ryan didn't need the telescope to recognize what was happening, though he'd never seen it before in his life.
There she blows! There! There she blows!
It was madness. The most terrifying, leaping, heart-stopping madness that Ryan had ever known. He was soaked to the skin within seconds, hands blistered from the heavy oars, muscles in his shoulders cracking with the effort of pulling. His hair was flattened to his skull, and he gritted his teeth as the frail boat bounded over the long Atlantic rollers in pursuit of the broaching whale that he'd sighted. How long ago? Eternities hurtled by, like grains of sand. But his common sense told Ryan that barely 20 minutes could have elapsed. He'd been ordered down from the masthead immediately to be replaced as lookout by one of the Oriental cooks. He was needed in the lead whaleboat, skippered by Cyrus Ogg, with its ironsman, Don Fillmore, crouched in the bow. The long, narrow boat had been lowered hastily into the sea alongside the Salvation, now running under a skeleton crew, most of her men eager to row after their prey. Pyrrha Quad had raged the decks like a woman possessed of demons, lashing out with her stick at any sailor unlucky enough to run within range. Froth clung to her fleshy lips, and her eyes rolled bloodshot in their sockets.
Now we see him, ye shiftless, lazy sons of gaudy whores! Get to the boats and after him! Row and row, cullies! Jark in plenty for a good hunt and a clean kill! No food for a week if he slips away from ye!
Cyrus Ogg encouraged the five men to pull for their lives toward the patch of disturbed, misty water where the whale had last been sighted.
Naught but ears and arms, my brave lads! Pull and pull and pull again! That's the word for the silver mug of fine oil and a rich lay for us all! Pull and pull and pull yet more!
Ryan had never traveled in such a bizarre way before, with his back to where they were going, unable to see what was happening. Only Donful in the triangular bow section and Ogg at the tiller in the stern could judge what should be done. Walsh in the second whaleboat and a grizzled veteran named Piper Fairman in the third were only a dozen yards behind them. Ryan had heard that Captain Quad sometimes took an iron herself if a whole school of whales was spotted, but here, with only a single beast marked down for the hunt, she was content to remain on board the Salvation and shadow the trio of small dories. Because of the height of the long ocean waves, it was often impossible for the oarsmen to even glimpse the Salvation. Most of the time, Ryan could see the three masts, and occasionally the whole white and black hull. The lookout at the top of the mainmast was still pointing dead ahead of them, to where Ryan figured he could see the birds waiting for the reappearance of the monster.
Steady and together, my stout boys! With an in and an out, and an in and an out! Any man stops rowing and he'll be tied to the grating, and I'll flog the skin from his back! Next, I'll flog the muscles and flesh away from his back. In the gleaming ivory of his spine shall feel the kiss of the metal-tipped lash. I'll whip that man so hard his liver and lights will be shredded and flinged and pulverized and torn so that they can be served over the side as bait for the sharks.
The world was shrinking around Ryan. Though there were few men fitter in all of the Deathlands, the endless heaving of the clumsy oar, sometimes deep in the water and sometimes kicking the empty air, was taking its toll on him. He fought for breath, feeling soreness across the tops of his thighs from the pressure and the movement against the seat.
I'll press thine eyes in, and then out of thy skull, and drive a white hot owl in, and then out of thine ears, and hammer hook and nails in, and then out of thy nostrils.
She blows!
Ryan wasn't able to stop himself from turning on the planking seat, seeing the most amazing sight, catching the scent of old, old earth ripped from the belly of the Atlantic. It was as though someone had thrown up a great wall of wrinkled blue-gray stone across their course. It reared, dripping and gleaming, streaked with shards of green weed, unimaginably huge.
Turn thy face to me, Outlander, and bend thy back, or we all perish!
Cyrus Ogg nodded at him like a friendly schoolmaster, mentioning some tiny error in his tables of multiplication. Ryan bent again to the oar, hearing a deep sigh.